Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, and it's a terrible fight. He tells the boy it's between two wolves. One is evil. It's full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other wolf is full of joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, and has generosity, full of truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson, he thought about it for a minute, and he asked the grandfather, which wolf wins? The old Cherokee simply replied, it's the wolf you feed. Good afternoon or good evening. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Ketel, bienvenido, namaste, oki, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of your hosting duties. Holding down is, we call him the Lions Historian, my best friend, my dad. Bill Green, you heard that little chuckle back there? That was him. Hey, good evening. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, man. All right. Still too early to tell, man. But I always get a kick out of you saying that, you know, the Lions historian. That is so cool. If you, you know, we haven't made reference to that quote in a while. Until Lions have historians, hunters will always be heroes. And that's Steve Biko.
Steve Biko.
Although it's hard to find credit being given to him for such a quote, but nevertheless, that's how I first got it, so I'm not going to argue. I think it definitely speaks in volumes. Until lions have historians, hunters will always be heroes. And without going off text too much, it's hard to avoid the comparison of that quote from apartheid South Africa to today's issues and struggles and reframing going on right here in our motherland, America. Yeah. But anyway, it's good to be with you again tonight, man. As always, you know,
as always.
I love the way we prepare our blocks for the show and our chances to dialogue and get on each other's nerves. I think I get on your nerves more than you get on mine.
I don't know. You just don't admit it, and sometimes I just don't know. You just keep it to yourself.
No. Well, okay. I ain't gonna make it easy on you. All right.
There you go. Just let it go. Let it go. No, but you know, I love the reference to Stephen Biko, and I think, you know, listening to our shows, working with you, whether the Greenhouse Effect or Write Your Own Book Club or Dysfunction by Design shows. You give a lot of historical context that's relevant to the things that we talk about, and it's relevant to today of looking at the history, you know, and even relevant right now, you know, looking at our subject matter for tonight. You know, and just like your show, writing your own book, you know, it's writing your own stories. If you don't, what is it? If you don't tell your stories, who will?
Amen, man. You nailed it. Yeah. Who are we entrusting our biography to?
Right.
You know, I sure hope, I think most people are entrusting it to time. Well, time got too much other things to do. You know, it continues on. So time ain't, you know, time ain't saying, oh, we got to be sure we remind everybody who Bill Green was, you know. No, man, you know, it's in the telling that we're remembered.
Yeah.
You know, not in the hope.
So.
Amen, man. Go on.
Yep.
Go ahead and do your due diligence. I'm a chill for a second.
So before we get going, ladies and gentlemen, just a few reminders we like to pass down before we really start getting into our discussions. First reminders, grab a pen and pad, pencil and paper. We like to say a post-it note, a marker, a back of an envelope, whatever you got. Just in case, if you've got some questions, a comment, or even some information you may pick up from us, you know, you don't want to forget or you don't want to miss. So we remind you early to grab something to write with. The second reminder is that our chat room on the Blog Talk Radio site is open. Both Dan and I use the chat, so you'll see the greenhouse effect, but usually we'll say like BG or WG, just so you know. But if you want to access the chat room, again, you just do so with your free Blog Talk Radio account, and then you can engage with us that way. Of course, we have our phone lines that are open as well. That number is 516, and I hope you got your pen or paper together in your hand, 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And, of course, this is for our live shows on Wednesday nights. And I'm saying that for those that are listening to our recorded shows, which is on your favorite listening platform. So those are just our brief reminders.
All right, now.
I thought that you had mentioned, you know, ladies and gentlemen, also just to let you know, we have other ways that you can engage with us as well. I was just thinking back. I got stuck for a second thinking about what we were talking about earlier. We just want to remind you all, the listening audience, that during our live shows, I can't multitask. And so, you know, besides Blog Talk Radio, we have other ways that you can communicate with us. But I've never really gone back to look at it. I used to do it, Dad, when we first started. But, you know, Facebook has always been beneficial for those that maybe go to the event page. You know how we set up the event on Facebook?
Yeah.
You know, there's always
a
discussion there. They can do discussions there. Then we have the Greenhouse Effect group page on Facebook. You can always go on there and post as well. And if you're not a member of our group, let me know or send a request and we'll get you in there as well. So, yeah, you know, we'll definitely start to let you all, remind you all about that on social media and on our shows as well. So I didn't want to forget that time. I got it.
Is there a way we can post, like on Facebook or in the group room, archive shows, or is that something folks would have to go look up?
Yeah, we can post those too. It would be kind of cool. Maybe we should do a poll to ask what platform do they listen to their podcast? Do they use Google Podcasts, Apple Podcast, Spotify? You know, there's so many platforms, and we actually, our shows are on about 6 or 7 different platforms. So maybe we should put a poll out to see what kind of podcast people, you know, use or listen to. So yes, we can get those. To answer your question, Dad, yes, we can put that. Yeah. We can put those links out there ourselves. Yes.
I wasn't chuckling about that, although I was going to make a comment about it. But I was chuckling about, yeah, let's do a poll. We're not frustrated enough. Let's get a little bit more frustration going up in here. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't respond. Why are we even doing this? Why is there air? What the hell? Yeah, let's do a poll.
Let's do a poll. Get some laughs. Get some engagement going on. Sure. It'd be fun, they say.
Yeah, people are just waiting to do a poll. Okay, go ahead, man.
Okay, so maybe not a poll. We'll put those links up. So, yeah,
go on and do your poll, man. Don't let me take you off stride. Go on. I'll send out to my mailing list as well. You know, be appreciated if y'all respond to our pro poll. We'll just have to come up with one that's easy. It won't take a lot of reading.
Yeah, seriously, I'm going to write this down right now because, again, using Facebook as the example because it's always the go-to in those story modes, you can set up a poll.
Yeah, so for now.
Just writing that so I don't forget it. So, yeah, today is December 1st. We are in the first day of December, the last month of 2021.
Already.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it.
Already. Wow.
The end of one year and the beginning of the other. A lot of
that's usually how it works.
It's usually how it works, right? You know, December has its kind of interesting kind of things. You know, yeah, I'm getting all trippy here.
Okay, yeah,
beginning of
right.
the new year, beginning of the old year, beginning of the all that stuff. And then I'm tripping on numbers, too. You know how I get to tripping on numbers. I'm like, 12, 1, 21?
He's still talking about this. Go ahead on, man. Yeah, what the hell?
12,
we're
1,
only an
21,
hour,
to 1
ladies
and
gents.
That's right. We're only an hour. We're only an hour. So we'll get going then. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a discussion. We talked about the Netflix movie, The Harder They Fall, and we didn't really finish our conversation. We hit the points of it, but there were some other discussions we wanted to bring up again, and we thought it'd be good to bring that up tonight. That's the title, Artistry. So I know one of the things that we were talking about, as we just mentioned a minute ago, is just the ability, the correct representation, if you will, of Black America or African American stories to be represented in film. And that's what we were really happy about seeing with The Harder They Fall, was it with this representation of Black cowboys. Now, even though we know their stories wasn't accurate to their real life, it was good just seeing that representation on Netflix. So tonight, I titled the show Artistry. The reason why is just because I think that artistry influences us in many different ways. And artistry is creative skill or an ability in anything, whether it be art, dance, music, books, or I don't know, roller skating or bowling, in writing, there's a creative process and that's incorporated with artistry and a lot of things that we do. So I just, kept it general as far as the title itself, just to emphasize how art itself is very influential. So tonight, I know, Dad, you wanted to touch on various movies and the impact that the movie industry and Hollywood has had on you. And I would like to also look at movies and music as well. So
go for
what,
it. Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say you can go ahead and kind of get the ball going here because I wanted to see.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's a great risk in doing that, right? Hello?
Well, you know, I mean, I could get into the all the different stuff about artistry and examples of all that, but
okay. Well, let's if you would speak some to what you posted on Facebook, so that we don't lose anybody listening on what we're trying to say. I mean, like, okay, artistry. But you were very specific in a post you made about the influence of music in the family. And I'm assuming you mean in our family. You know?
Right.
And that's going back into the 60s where, you know, there was your Uncle Mick was in a group, you know, called the King's Men. That's not one word. That's two words. Not to be confused with the Kingsmen, a white group. That was one word. They were the King's Men. And I didn't realize that how much separating those two words meant, because that really refers that gives a scriptural reference to the name of the group. They were the King's Men, you know. And I'm really trying hard to get off of that. It was something to come home almost every day after school, grammar school and high school, up to before. I would come home and Mick, your Uncle Mick, would be rehearsing with the group, you know. And even though I mentioned it to you before, even though there were five guys in the group, I only remember four names. I remember Dinky, who was the lead singer, Bubbles, he was like first tenor, Pablo was the bass, you know, Pablo was the bass, and your Uncle Mick, you know, his voice was unique in that he had perfect range and five octaves. So he could go from like hit the second soprano, you know, and even go into, you know, second bass, if not, you know, bass itself. So that was the full range of his voice. And then there was another cousin, Reggie. And Reggie belonged to the group The Ideals. And The Ideals, among other songs, did Go Gorilla, which was a hit in the 60s. But the thing is, where the influence lies, these groups used to perform at house parties if anybody was given a party who knew any of the members of the groups. And they would just be there. It was just a trip. They wouldn't show up in costume or anything, but, you know, they didn't need to have the whole floor so they could do their steps. But they would just sing a cappella, you know. And having that up close and personal, although we didn't have anything to compare it to later in life, I mean, earlier in life, it's not like our early life allowed us to see something earlier, like American Bandstand in somebody's living room or basement, although we didn't have anything else to compare it to. So they were still heroes and sheroes, because I can't forget my cousin Carol. You know, she had an incredible singing voice as well, and she would sometimes tune in with The Ideals, sing in with them. But my point is that they were what we didn't call them heroes, but we took great pride in knowing who they were. And the pride we felt, I guess, is kind of like hero worship today, where we didn't hesitate to be name droppers. Yeah, yeah, that's Cousin Reg, or that's my brother Mick. I remember Mick took me up to a Walgreens on, if you're not from Chicago, this reference won't mean anything, but there used to be a Walgreens on 63rd and Cottage. And that Walgreens used to have a big tub of 45 records. And it would be like on sale for 25 cents or whatever. And Mick took me up there, and he was digging through this barrel, big barrel. And I'm like, okay, whatever, Mick. And he pulled out, Don't Say You're Sorry, Man. That cat was so proud of that record. But anyway, the thrill was the fact that I had a record I could show my friend, and I could play it for him because everybody had a portable record player. And I knew Mick's voice. So, as a matter of fact, when I was young, I could almost emulate it. Now, if I try to hit those notes, I'm asking for a hernia. You know, but you know, it was quite a thrill. You know, and because singing in my day was what athletic sports are to brothers and sisters today. Everybody was expected to be able to sing when I was coming up. You know, that was a requirement. So it's kind of like basketball today, or football, or in any other major sports. That, you know, like if you're competing in it, you're expected, you know, to know your skills. But it's not so unique. It's like everybody's expected to be able to do it. But that's how singing was. So it wasn't anything for us to crowd into a bathroom because the acoustics were always great in a bathroom, you know. And your Uncle Jeff couldn't sing a note. But the one thing he could do, he could maintain a sound, a tune, a bass, you know. So if there was ever a need for a bass sound, you know, we could turn to Jeff and he would just go, yeah, anyway. So that was, you know, that was the, you know, it wasn't just the influence of singing as much as it was the influence of pursuing a dream, you know, and to see these dreams up close and personal. That was very inspiring. And I'm kind of thinking that's what you were alluding to when you were talking about the influence of music in the family. You know, it was seeing, you know, I mean, I don't, it's just like you, man, how many times have you thrown a piece of garbage in a basket, right? And it's like, 3, 2, 1, you know, and you launch that shot to win the game. You know, they just throw away garbage. But it was still just the fantasy of it all. Well, that's what it was like, you know, to hear these guys up close and personal. And even on a personal note, you know, I proposed to your ma. You know, as a result of the Dells, the singing group popular in Chicago, that reached additional fame at the end of their careers when they were featured in credits for being what do you call it, the not the inspiration but the technical advisors for the movie The Five Heartbeats. Much of that movie was based on their stories. And Mick knew one of the singers of the Dells, and he also knew the lead singer, you know, Marvin Jr. And see, I could just go on. I got to tell this one story, man, and I'll try to limit it to less than 1,000 words, but don't keep count. The Dells, I had known your mom for I don't know maybe a year or so, and we used to travel in packs when we would go to house parties. I don't know if that's what you all call it today, but house parties were at somebody's house, whether it be in their apartment or in their basement, but they were house parties. And sure, sometimes they would be rent parties. And sometimes it would be waistline parties where you had to pay according to your, you know, the size of your waist.
Oh, wow.
We were thin back then though. So, you know, people, it was slim pickings, you know, 30 cents, 25 cents, whatever, you know.
Okay.
But rent parties, you know, people would try to drop a buck and help somebody make their rent. But that was usually as we got older. But when we were younger, you know, it wasn't unusual for a group, a singing group, to show up at someone's apartment if they happened to know somebody who knew somebody. So the Dells showed up, and the Dells were like in their prime, you know, Stay in My Corner, Oh What a Night. Marvin Jr. was out of Harvey. And hello?
Yeah.
Do you hear that? I don't know if there was a lot of, I don't know if you heard that. Sorry. Marvin Jr. was in Harvey, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. It is a suburb of Chicago. And Marvin Jr. and Mick would sing together just for fun. Yeah, I mean, because they just loved the craft. So it wasn't unusual for them to just break out in a song, you know, and everybody knew the doo-wops of the day. But anyway, so the Dells are at this house party, and they showed up just when we, meaning it was a group of us, were about to leave. Me, your ma, her best friend Linda, and one of my tightest friends, Ab. You know, we were just getting ready to go when the Dells showed up. So, you know, we had Dells records, you know, it was cool saying, hey, what's up, you know, yeah. But we were on our way out to going somewhere else, you know. And so, you know, we were leaving as they were coming in, and we could hear the guests ask them if they wouldn't mind belching out a song. You know, and at first the guys resisted, and then the crowd was, ah, okay. And we got outside, and it was a really great summer evening, yeah, and we were strolling down the street, man, actually walking down the middle of the street on the south side of Chicago, right near the lake, and we could hear the Dells singing Stay in My Corner, I'm sorry, Oh What a Night. They were doing a second rendition of it. And Do You Recall the Night? You know, so we could hear them busting it out as we were strolling down the street, and me and your mom just started dancing. I wasn't much of a dancer, but I could slow dance. It didn't really require much effort with slow dancing back in the day. In fact, you know, you just drop a postage stamp on the floor, and that would be our spot. You know, this is where slow dancing went on back in the day. So we're dancing in the street while they're singing, man, and that's when I asked your mom to marry me. Now, fast forward to years later, after I was going through my wildlife, and I ran into Marvin Jr. at a club on the south side of Chicago called the Dayton Gang. And I was already in the bar, you know, sitting there. And he came sliding in. Everybody's like, hey, Marvin Jr., what's up, man? And he came and sat right next to me, not because he knew who I was or anything, because he really didn't. That's just the stool that was open. So he slid up in the bar next to me. And I turned to him and I said, Marvin Jr., my man. And he looked at me. I said, yeah, you're the reason why I got a divorce. And he looked like he was getting ready to leave. And I said, no, man, it's not like that. Yeah. I said, no, hold on, man. So I told him the whole story. And he kind of looked at me and I said, I never would have married my ex-wife if not for you guys singing. So he started laughing at that story. And then I turned to him and I said, and you know my brother Mick. And he said, Michael Green? And I said, yeah. And then he just busted out in this Marvin Jr. laugh of his. And he ordered a round of drinks for everybody when I told the story about him causing my divorce. And then when I told him about Mick being my brother, oh, then it was like, you know, drinks were on him for the rest of the night or something like that, you know.
So, oh, yeah, wow.
That,
wow.
You know, that was one of my, you know, favorite all-time singing group stories, man. So,
yeah.
You know, sorry, it's hard for me to, when you first started talking about, you wanted to talk about this tonight, man, the memories just overwhelmed me, you know, growing up. It's what we did, man.
As before the show started, and I'm thinking like, how was I going to transition, you know, from the reminders, you know, to the meat of the show.
Yeah.
But I just felt like there was no way to really do it without you getting it going. You know, it's because of that influence, you know, because of Uncle Mick. And it kind of hit me when I put that post up, you know, because of Uncle Mick's experience and your experience.
Yeah.
And even Uncle Jeff's lack of experience in singing. You know, all those things, you know, inadvertently
but
became
it. Jeff took pride, excuse me, but I just want to real quick interject something. Jeff took pride in having the deepest voice of everybody. So believe me, he did not mind having a place in the group.
I remember that. I remember he had those deep moments. Yeah, I remember that. That was about it.
Right.
You know.
That's a good way to put it. See, that's a good way to put it. He had those deep moments, right, when that baritone bass voice of his would boom out, you know, unexpected. Right on.
And it would be on point, too. But it's all those things that, for me personally, influence me. You know, the influence of doo-wop, kicking it with my stallion. You know, your music on the reel-to-reels. You know, everybody talks about A-tracks and cassettes, but, you know, people don't talk about reel-to-reels, you know, stuff like that.
Man.
And it was those experiences, you know, rather it was, as you like to say, in the heydays or whatever, you know, it was still influential to me. And it was those things that gave me an appreciation for music. You know, looking at those late 70s when I was a kid, under 10 to, you know, graduating from high school. And I'm at an all-male mixed school on the south side of Chicago, you know, the Catholic school, and I'm listening to literally all genres of music. I mean, I've listened to, when I was a De La Salle, man, I listened to everything, you know, and I think that was a lot because I was in such a mixed group of classmates anyway. But still, it's just that, you know, that diversity of music that allowed me to, you know, be open to other things, especially as I transitioned, you know, from schools and from Chicago to Atlanta, you know, all those things.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, I said Atlanta. I just recalled that there was a paper I wrote when I was going to Clark, Atlanta, and just kind of jumping into other influences of music and movies. I wrote this paper at Clark, and I always kind of chuckle when I talk about this movie, Purple Rain, the Prince movie, Purple Rain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how influential that music and the movie. Even though the movie wasn't the best acted, you know, it still gave a good story, you know, with the triumphant ending, you know, and the music
itself.
Nobody
went to that movie nobody went to check out the acting anyway, but go ahead.
No, they went to hear the music and see Apollonia.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, man. Not necessarily in that order either.
Not in that order, you know, and so another side note of that, with Purple Rain, is I chuckle. I don't know if you remember that Babysitting Brandon. And Brandon, you know, you were asking about our day, and I'm like, yeah, we're watching Purple Rain. And your eyes just got so big, like, oh, shit. He's not supposed to be watching that.
I'm like, what's the big deal, man?
You know? You know,
but it's funny because... There's a point to that. There's a point to that story, too. Yeah,
it's interesting that I think that music, though, was an influence to him a little bit.
It was.
He
memorized the whole album, Purple Rain, man, as a result of sitting down hearing that with you. And he even created an outfit, you know, that was his idea, his rendition of Prince. And his tricycle was a motorcycle, man. He put on these rubber gloves, dude, and he had his little play school guitar, and he would just pedal through the crib singing. And he even had his own sound effects. So it would be Purple Rain, Rain, Rain. That all started because, you know, how do you stop that when that creative force takes over? So, I just watched in amazement that this – Well, I think you're right. I think that set the direction for his dedication to music these days, his ministry, really, right?
Yeah, this ministry today. I mean, even before that, just the influence of music. You know, you get in him his, you know, his first piece of music, instruments, and it just grows, and it's just amazing. You know, how music is very influential. I mean, but, you know, music, man, like math, you know, and I love both, you know, has that kind of universal language, if you will.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
It speaks so many, it speaks and touches us in so many ways. You know, somebody said that music encompasses your soul without permission. You know, it touches you in so many different ways.
If you don't remember who said it, take credit for it. I love that, man. Amen.
No, I'm not going to take credit for it. It's cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah, you got me thinking about so many aspects of it. The Brandon story for sure, but, you know, fast rewind. You know, you had an invitation to attend Michigan, right? Michigan University, University of Michigan,
right.
And they were recruiting candidates for, you know, their program, school.
Yeah, the engineering program. Yep.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it was called. It wasn't called Rookie Weekend. I don't remember what it was called, but we were there for a whole weekend. But my story has to do with when we were getting off the bus. What did you have, a Walkman or a Sony or something?
Yeah, I have
stuck
a
in
school
your
Sony cassette Walkman. Yes, here it is.
Yeah, and I could hear part of the music coming out of, you know, out of your earplugs, and you're listening to something. I think you still remember what the name of that was you were listening to. And I turned to you and I said, man, how can you listen to that rap junk? And you remember what you said to me?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, and it was N.W.A., I think it was N.W.A.,
okay.
I don't remember. But I'm like, man, this is like the blues, you know, for us.
Yeah.
Like, Street Stories.
Yeah. And when you said that, I almost wanted to hit you.
Oh, wow. I never knew
blues
that.
Like that. Oh, man, it got a strong reaction inside of me. It's like, how dare you? But at that moment, I remembered something that my cousin Martin and I talked about when we were teenagers, because his dad and his mom, his dad, not his mom, but his dad would always rag us because we would be upstairs listening to music, man, the sound of the times, you know, and he was like, how can y'all listen to that? Ah, whatever, he would scream up, yo, get off my lawn. And me and Marty said, man, when we got older and we had kids, we would never talk to them or berate their music. We would always be able to relate to whatever music they were listening to. And I remembered our conversation just when I found myself getting a sense at you saying that rap was like the blues to you. You know, and that's when I became very receptive at that moment to what you were talking about. And even though it took me years to finally accept rap as artistry, you know, nevertheless, I never forgot that story as being the influence behind, the driving force behind myself eventually arriving to that place. To whether I like some of rap or not, realizing that there's poetic expression in it, man. You know, so again, what you're saying, the influence of music, you know, and now we're talking about it, you know, in a place of dialogue. And how did you put it earlier in an earlier show, bridging or creating a bridge between the generations?
Right.
You know, that was something that we could always reflect back on, just like talking about Brandon, just like talking about you and Brandon when he was younger, Brandon as he got older, me and you. You know, there's always been that influence there, man. Music is a tremendous bridge, right on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And you know, with music, you know, there's a lot of influences. Like today we mentioned, you know, like movies.
Yeah.
And just kind of segueing into how movies are impactful and affect us.
Absolutely.
In different
Absolutely.
Ways.
In different ways. Different movies having a different way capturing. Yeah, there you go. Capturing imagination. But when it's tied in, like, again, I'm going to use us as the example. When a certain movie pops up, I can't help but to think about that we went to see it. You know, like Die Hard. You know, you wanted to see Die Hard. And I remember saying, man, I don't want to go see no movie about no battery. And you said, oh, man, come on, it's going to be Die Hard. You know, but see, you know, like that, you know, you were, what, 11 maybe, and you sat down with me. I was visiting you and your mom. And you sat down with me on the floor, and you watched, and we were watching a VHS tape, right? And we were watching Gandhi, and you sat right there with me and watched that whole movie. And you had to be like 11, if not younger. And that was a long-ass movie.
Yeah, it was like 83, I think. 80
yeah.
came out in 82,
yeah.
but it
yeah.
probably came out
yeah.
in 83 on VHS, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right, man. Definitely right in that time. And we sat, and you sat right there with me and watched that whole movie. And I had not seen it before. So it's not like I could fill you in on what was going on, and I had no historical perspective. You know, so I was, you know, seeing it for the first time. And you were sitting there at 11 and watching it like, were you even 11 yet? I don't know. But you were sitting like, you know, you were totally into it, man. I'll never forget what it felt like sitting next to you watching that movie. You know, that the movie still, because of that time spent, still touches me whenever even if I'm not watching, when I just pass it by. You know, some movies, of course, as soon as you hear that, as soon as you see they're on, you got to stop, or at least I do. Like, if I hear, you know, any reference to Magnificent Seven, the original movie, I got to stop what I'm doing. You know, you know, if Brenda hears those opening horn notes to The Godfather, it's like you can forget any conversation you might have been having with Brenda's my sister-in-law, y'all. You can forget any conversation you're having with her because all of a sudden her whole attention span zooms into do-do-do-do-do-do-do, whatever. You know, it's like, you know, like she's saying it for the first time. I don't know, do you have any movies like that, you know, whether it's dialogue or the soundtrack or whatever that stops you in your tracks, and you just got to watch it for, if not for the rest of the movie, definitely,
yeah, you know,
until you got to go do what you're doing.
Yeah, I used to have this game that I used to play with Mom, and, like, she'll be turning on, I don't know, something on TV, channel surfing mostly, and it'd be right at the top of the hour, you know, so that's when all the movies are coming on, and she's just channel surfing. And sometimes I try to play this game where as soon as I hear the opening music, I try to guess the movie, and she just keeps going. I'm like, boom, 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 you know. So.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you did that. All right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Apparently, I watch too many movies, but, you know, I guess they call me.
It's impossible.
Well, yeah. But,
I love I love your knowledge of movies, especially when you and your cousin Ray, Brenda's son, when you and your cousin Ray start kicking it, man, about the movies of your genre, you know, the movies of your generation. I pick up some things as y'all talking, so I can sound like, you know, I'm on it when I'm talking to my generation. It's amazing how many of my generation don't know anything, but just picking up a little bit from y'all makes it sound like I'm an authority, you know, just because I know a little bit about what y'all are talking about. But, you know, again, making reference to sister-in-law Brenda, watching The Harder They Fall, and I was just tripping out about the actors in it and the references, the historical references to certain names, even though they really had nothing to do with the movie. But nevertheless, the names were authentic. And then, you know, she dropped this thing when she and Ray were talking, and she said, yeah, you know, produced by Jay-Z. And I'm saying, how did they know that? You know, so, yeah, again, you know, this thing, it's, there's a whole dialogue, I think, that happens with families, relatives, however it's broken down, whatever the pecking order within the family structure is, or however it's broken down. It seems to be a safe place, a safe haven to retreat to a dialogue, whether it's about music or about movies, you know, more so than almost any other conversations within family. Anyway, that's how I've experienced it. But then, okay. I'm sorry, did I cut you off, man?
No.
They called you what, Mr. Tibbs? They called you because of your knowledge of music, movies rather. You were getting ready to say what people called you, or did I mishear you?
No, I think maybe you might have just heard me. No, it was just, like I said, just a game that Mom and I used to play. Just, you know, again, based on hearing those first few notes of the music at the beginning of a movie. But it's funny, you know, you put me on the spot, and I can't just name one movie right now. But as soon as we get off the air tonight, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I can name that one. But, you know, it's a lot of 80s movies, you know, when I was growing up. You know, so some of that 80s style, that 80s music that had a different kind of feel to it, you know, that
did
was a part of the movies.
Did you change your location? Because you're getting choppy right now.
No. Unfortunately,
okay.
I did not change anything.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know. Meek, you can still be understood, but it was just choppy.
Okay.
It was clipping. You know, but seems like it's back to normal again. Yeah,
that's okay.
We haven't told folks about technical difficulties in a long time, right?
Well, we haven't had too many, knock on wood, in a long time.
Okay. Yeah. We've really haven't. Not since we
even though
back,
it's one hour show, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah, you're coming through again, Rick. But man, it's like only 15 minutes left. Okay, so. I love this format. Also, don't forget about mentioning Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to just throw that in there.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I just wanted to make a quick comment. Obviously, this is something that I'll probably have to look at presenting next week, possibly.
Well, if we go over an hour, we're okay. We won't get cut off like we normally do. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, normally Dad and I used to do a 2-hour show. And then when I started doing this before, I used to always do a 2-hour show. And that's just because when I first started with somebody else, we always did 2-hour shows. So it never really occurred to me that it's okay to do just 1 hour, you know, and I had to get out of the habit of trying to squeeze in everything at these certain points of time. So now we're doing 1 hour show. So as you just heard Dad mention, you know, Wednesday nights we do 1 hour, and now we're also going to do Monday nights 1 hour.
Same time,
7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Cool.
BlogTalkRadio.com/TheGreenhouseFX and 516-453-6094. But, yeah, Mondays and Wednesdays, now 7 p.m., 1 hour. So this is still a warming or feeling out process for both of us.
Yeah, but I don't want to set the precedence of that being an option. I think we really need to keep it because that, you know, that's one of the issues. So I think if we need to keep it
mean.
Tight.
I know
what
you mean.
And it's like it's nothing that I was going to talk about tonight that was going to change the course of, you know, of modern values in American society. It can wait till next week. I just wanted to touch on the themes of music as being, for me, possibly for the next couple, two or three shows maybe, a recurring theme that has so much to do with, you know, the fine-tooling, the evolutionary process, and both positive and negative effects on my psyche. You know, I can't speak for generations like your generation or generations younger than yours even, you know, on what impact the movie or the artistry of different forms of entertainment, you know, may have any kind of impact on you. But more so than anything else, more so than sports, more so than song, and both have had a tremendous impact on the development of my psyche one way or the other. Neither have impacted on me the way movies have. So I just wanted to just make that one commentary, and not to even get into any other detail about that. And still, you know, trying to be cognizant of leaving some room for you, man, you know, this in this new format of ours. Because, you know, I tend to get long, long-winded, like, you know, to make a long story longer. Yeah, I'm digging this, though, man. I think this will work out just fine. No callers tonight, huh?
No. I see we got one listener in. Hey, you know, but no, nobody else is called in. And ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, you can call in and press one on your keypad to jump in, chime in, engage with Dad and I, questions, comments, or anything like that. Maybe there's a movie or some music or something that's influenced you. You know, you can always share with us.
Yeah. And maybe it's time to get a guest on the show, too. We haven't had one yet since we started back, and it's been a while.
Yeah.
So maybe between now and next Wednesday, we'll come up with someone for next Wednesday show. If not even Monday, you know. So, again, you had mentioned in the earlier show that if someone or someone's out there, especially in the healthcare profession, you know, had something they wanted to discuss, I'm sure we could build a show around that, you know, whether it be mental health or whatever the issues may be. Again, you know, just setting the tone for future considerations for those who, you know, the hundreds and thousands who are out there listening to
and
us,
the
right?
millions.
You know, this is not a program that has a stagnant or fixed kind of format. You know, it's as flexible as the creative audience wants it to be. And if anyone ever feels a desire to call in but is a little bit concerned about being attacked, don't be. You know, Will is very caller friendly, and he will shut me down to save a call. Amen. And we need that. Yeah. don't need to lose any more people. I get a little, you know, one of my triggers is Trump. You know, if you just want to get a rise out of me, if you just want to hear me just start tripping in a high voice just throughout Trump. You know, I start tripping in a minute. So anyway, man, I'm going to get out the way so you can land this airplane. I see we got about 10 minutes left. Or park that train. But beautiful sound effect, man.
So again, oh, the train, yeah. So again, as far as Monday, you're going to go a little further in movies and influence when you were, you know, for you.
Yeah. And if nothing else gets talked about, definitely I'm going to leave myself enough wiggle room to talk about the influence of Sidney Poitier on my life.
Hmm.
You know, talking about movies has caused me to reflect on, you know, just what its impact really was. And more so than movies themselves, that's one actor that's had a tremendous impact on my my inner development, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we can definitely go into more of this Monday and next week. But, you know, when I hear Sidney Poitier's name, immediately what do you call that? When you say one word and your response is based on the word you hear. But anyway, when I hear Sidney Poitier's voice, the name, the first word that comes to my mind is first. The first thing that comes to my mind is the word first. You know, thinking about your generation and accomplishing all these firsts, you know, first black actor or the first black actress or the first musician. And nowadays, there's still, unfortunately, things that are happening where like the first black, it's like, how is that still even possible? But it's still possible today.
Yeah.
But not as much during your generation. And I wonder, you know, how that, has that affected? Is there any kind of effect? You know, is there kind of an influence? I don't know what the word is. You know, like having to deal with all these first, and now in this new generation, there's really not a lot of that anymore. I don't know if it's just, you know, that need to be included is not really as necessary, or maybe I'm just thinking too much into it. But, you know, I don't know if you're getting where I'm coming from with this.
Well, I don't think you can. I'll use the word, you didn't use it. I'll use it though. I don't think you can overthink this. I think bringing it up makes the dialogue valuable. And if you're bringing it up, that means somebody else is thinking about it too. I know I have, and I know it doesn't take much when I'm hearing you to be reminded of cause and effect and how things have shifted.
Yeah,
and
cause
what, you know.
Yeah,
and what's caused so many different shifts? You know, it's not as elusive as it is frustrating. Again, you know, sometimes I believe the frustration of the black experience is only having one door to walk through instead of, you know, having this big building with multiple doors to go through, front, side, back, emergency. You know, when it comes to entertainment, the entertainment industry, black folks have had to stand in single file, one at a time, going through the same door of opportunity, whether it be sports, you know, whether it be different venues of entertainment. Even when you think about it, literature. I grew up at a time when the black renaissance was led by primarily scholastic black male writers, you know, and then black poets. But almost all male. And then it was like, well, we can't have both, so let's phase out black male writers and let's bring in black female writers. You know, again, single file, going through one door of opportunity instead of it having many entrance ways. And then even the entrance way was still sometimes backed up because we weren't leaving quick enough. It was like, no, it's too many of y'all are gathering in the lobby. We need to have a fire break or something, because if we don't, you know, your concepts will eventually overtake our themes. Just like in sports, you know, how come there aren't as many black female black baseball players, male or female, now as it used to be like in the 60s. Well, now we're dominating the two other sports. You know, how come, you know, all three aren't? Yeah. And it's like, no, you know, we exited you out so we can make room for Latino players. You know, so, you know, I'm even watching basketball, going through whatever it can to get more European players into the fold. You know, it's, you know, it's something that your question really, for me, raises a valuable point. You know, what happens? You know, why is it these shifts in focus? How come it all just doesn't continue to grow? So first, you know, becomes a moot point. You know, because there's so many now, we only are going to just talk about who was the first just for nostalgia. Mm-hmm. You know, but unfortunately, even today, we talk about the first looking for motivation. Well, yeah, yep. You know, that shouldn't be. Anyway, go ahead, yeah. Man. I'm sorry. You get me.
Her voice got a little high.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to maintain an even keel, but, you know, you got me going, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's maybe definitely something we could look towards discussion about in the future. I should have wrote that down. Now I definitely got to go back and listen to the show later. And speaking of going back and listening to the show again, ladies and gentlemen, the shows are archived and saved on your different listening platforms. So you can go back and play it again. Be like, wait, what the heck did they say? And play it again and play it again. And, you know, we love to hear, I was just going to say positive feedback.
Yeah, we would. We would love to hear positive.
That was a true Freudian slip right there.
We would love to hear positive, but any comments is better than no comments at all, you know. So, but that's funny, man. Yeah. Hilarious. All righty, man. I'm going to get out the way so you can land this airplane. Love you, son. Beautiful show tonight, man. I'm digging this. All right.
Love you too, Dad. So, I love talking about artistry and film and music. You know, films are always cool. We could talk about that all day. They are fascinating, especially now dealing with COVID and changes in our society. It helps a lot to escape. So I'm looking forward to continuing our discussion, Dad, Monday at 7 p.m. And take a moment, speaking of artistry and art, just as a PSA, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you do take a moment. You know, if you find some art in this purest form or in this positive nature, hope that you do take a moment to appreciate it, you know, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed. Art and artistry is a great way, a good way to take a moment and de-stress, you know, let some of that go. So hopefully whatever it is, from music to movies to paintings or whatever, you find that artistry for you that can help you, especially in times, especially right now when things can be overwhelming. So as we mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, 1 hour shows now, Wednesdays and Mondays. The Greenhouse Effect Radio Show is just expanding and changing. And we appreciate everyone's support and appreciate you all being a part of this journey that Dad and I continue to, you know, we've been navigating through the course of about a year and a half now. So please be safe out there. Mask up. Stay healthy. Stay positive. I'd like to dedicate this show to the memory of Barbara Montgomery. May you rest well. Godspeed on your next adventure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good night. Amen.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say.